Good morning. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio and NABWIC Wednesday Show. My guest today is Robin Donaldson, and she is the owner of Renew Construction Services, which is 100% owned by a small business entity. They provide an array of construction services, which include, but not limited to, event cleaning, post-construction cleaning, janitorial cleaning, floor maintenance, and hauling. Their services are designed and managed to shift the cleaning burden from you to them. She is, or the company is certified as a DWBE, DMBE, and MBE. Now, she's also the National Education Director for NABWIC. Now, Robin is an incredible person and dedicated and driven. In fact, this show is pre-recorded, and she had me pre-recorded at 6 o'clock in the morning. Can you imagine that? But we did it, and we're bringing it to you. A lot of great information, especially if you have a service that you're not so sure if it is construction related or not, or a product that may or may not be connected to the construction industry. Here's some thoughts about what you might do, and enjoy the conversation of learning who she, and in some cases, I am. Again, this is Ursula Odom and the Wednesday Show with Robin Donaldson. Good morning. Good morning, Robin. Welcome to NABWIC Blog Talk Show on Wednesday. I am so excited about hearing your story today. It happens to be a part of my story because it is because of you that I joined NABWIC. So I want to know what motivated you to that point because you motivated me. Look forward to it. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Ursula, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining me. And so to get started, first of all, tell me a little bit about you. How did you find out about NABWIC yourself?
Well, I found out about NABWIC through a friend of mine. She was a NABWIC member, also in construction. And she says, Robin, I want you to come to one of our meetings. I want you to meet someone. And that someone was Ann McNeil. And for all those who know E.F. Hutton, there is an expression or a commercial that states, when E.F. Hutton speaks, everyone listens. And that's exactly how Miss Ann McNeil captivated me. I was in awe. And at that moment, I knew that I was in the right place at the right time. Because as a architect student, there was nobody in the class that looked like me. So therefore, I didn't really know what I was going to do. I knew I was enrolled in the architectural design program. However, upon graduation, I had no clue as to, you know, where was I going to go? And that's where NABWIC came in. And I've been a member going on, this will be going on 4 years. It was just Miss Ann McNeil.
Wow. You know? Now, that begs the question. She motivated you to move toward a career and actually using what you've learned. But how did you decide to actually start that class? I mean, why did you take it to begin with?
Well, I love drawing. I'm a visionary. And I find that when a person is talking to me and trying to relay their thoughts, I'm very good at taking those thoughts and exploding it. And I would attribute that to prior to architectural design, I was a hairstylist for years. So, of course, I was doing the same thing. Someone's telling me what they want for what purpose, and then I just create it. So architectural design, again, it was something that I enjoyed doing because I love to draw. I love to fix problems. And also the degree that I do obtain, I would be using that as licensing verification for my general contractor's license. So it was, it's a dual goal.
So tell me about your journey to this point in terms of how you've used your skill. For those of us that are on the fringes of the industry and just really becoming impressed with the knowledge and skill that we see that you all exhibit, I want to understand how you've used it, what has fascinated you about being in this industry, and whatever else that I may not even know to ask.
Well, for me, I'm the kind of person who does what people say I can't do. It's like I have to do it. I have to, go against the grain. So being in construction, which is a male-dominated industry, we're not wanted. We're not wanted. And, again, loving architectural design. Prior to that, I attended trade school, and I studied industrial electricity, which, again, my mom wanted me to study nursing, but I went against the grain. So, I mean, for me, again, it was just the right place at the right time for me to select those courses, architectural design, and to think of, I mean, actually, that one program opens up so many other different career opportunities. So, again, that's another reason why I decided to go with the architectural design.
And what are some of those opportunities that you're thinking of?
Okay, so estimating. There's a estimating class, so it makes you very familiar with the quantity takeoffs and how to compute cost. Then also there's with the architectural design, there's software that we use to actually construct buildings, and that software also gives us an accurate count of materials needed, which will, in essence, give you a better estimate. Project management, blueprint reading, and just actual, drafting design. And although I'm not finished with my degree yet, I mean, I've made money, doing conceptual drawings. So, yeah, I mean, there's a variety of career choices that can come out of that program, which is great because it gave me a little bit of, it put all those different skill sets in front of me, and, I was able to narrow down exactly what it is that I wanted to do.
Now, when I think about what I know about you and a couple of things that you just said, first of all, we're not wanted, and you're basically doing the things that you want to do, that speaks to a specific kind of personality that is able to withstand opposition. So tell me, what are some of your life experiences that I would say shaped who you are? Because I know you to be a take charge person, but you didn't just start out being that way, did you? Or did you? What are some of your earliest memories of how you've taken control of a situation and made it happen or created something out of nothing? How did you get started with who Robin is?
That would be my father, Cornell Donaldson. We were very, very close. And he always challenged me to be greater and to do better. He would always say, just because something works doesn't mean it can't work better. So a lot of times I would be tasked with, he was a master mechanic, so he would have me doing something else, handing him the tools or, organizing his tools. And again, I just always, from learning how to organize tools, now I want to learn how to use the tools. From that, I want to change the tire. I want to fix the alternator. So I was always striving for more. And there's something that he always would tell me that I hold dear these days. He would always say, Robin, I know you can pull a rabbit out your hat, but I want you to make it sing. And so everything I do, I take it there. And that's just in line with the visions or the high-level thinking that I have, because I'm always challenging myself. And
now,
from that, I think that has molded me to be the person that I am.
Now, you raise a question for me personally, and it makes me wonder if it's true. When I hear about little girls with fathers that allow them to be little girls that are not traditional, they tend to grow up with a whole lot more self-esteem. I think in terms of Oprah, I think, had a father figure that led her. I have to admit, when I was growing up, I ran behind my granddaddy, and in the backwoods of Georgia, I was literally behind a plow and a mule, and, you know, out there making him laugh, basically, but he was allowing me to do the things that were not necessarily girly, because I was having fun. You know, I really did have fun, and I think that kept me from being one-dimensional, because I love dolls. I remember having 14 dolls by the time I was through with them. You know, it was like I was done with dolls. I counted them, and I said, 14 is enough, that's enough. But I also like being out there in the field and picking up a hammer and a nail and making things as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I cherish that. And I hear that, or I think I hear that, in what your experience was as well.
Yes. It made me a stronger person. I was always taught never rely on a man. And if you have a skill, never work for anyone. So, again, those are principles that he told me a long time ago. I never really understood it. But now I do. And, I mean, there's an advantage to being a very independent woman. And then there's, of course, a lot of disadvantages. I find that I intimidate a lot of men. And it's crazy, but that's just the way it is. And along with that A-type personality, I have a very, very, how can I say, Ursula? It's not really easy to get along with me because of my take charge attitude. And being a single mom, I had to take charge. And there was a question that you asked earlier where how I'm able to make something out of nothing. And I attribute that to the way I look at things. Again, you can always enhance something, and all things can be done. It's just how you do those things. So I can honestly say, being raised by Air Force veteran, you know, there was a lot of a lot of principles that he implanted in me at a young age that I'm really understanding what he was talking about these days.
Now, when you talk about some of those things, it reminds me of the era in which I came into my career early on. It was a time where we had games Mother Never Taught You and learning how to maneuver and navigate the corporate world. And I actually remember one of my first trips was to go to a northern climate where there was snow and ice and what have you. And around that time, I was totally independent, didn't want help from anybody. And I still struggle with that. But at that time, guys didn't have to open a door for me. You didn't have to do a thing for me. Okay. I mean, I like men. It was outside of work and all of that. But as it relates to my work environment, I did my work, got my job done, and I was just a member of the team until I met with some ice in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I stepped out on that ice and realized I couldn't walk, and there were some guys beside me. I held up my arms. I said, hold me up. There came a point where that independence went right on out the door because I was not going to hit that ground. Just was not going to do it. And so that's when I had a moment where, okay, we have to have a balance here. Yes, I can get the job done, and yes, I can do it as well as they do, but there are times when we have to depend on each other for the skills that we have. And so it just reminded me of that moment in my own life. Now, have you had any moments working with in an industry that's male-dominated that stands out that you can think of that were life-changing for you, or at least amusing?
Well, life-changing, it would be to just really understand how the business works. Again, we're in an industry that's male-dominated, and then I'm, of course, being a female, then being an African-American female, that's two strikes. And just how they perceive you in the way of bids or actual contracts, they look at you as the lesser, which for me, it makes me just work a little harder as if I have to prove myself. Because, again, this is an industry in which I want to be in. So, of course, you have to conform to the rules. So I think all of the negative lashback that I have been getting because I'm a female has just really inspired me to go a little harder, to push a little harder for the rights of women in the construction industry. And that's one of the reasons why I love NABWIC, because this is exactly what it stands for. Making opportunities for people like us, for girls like us, to afford us, opportunities with prime contractors. And, again, that's why I hold NABWIC so dear, because of that mission.
And, in fact, that's one of the things that I recall as you came into my consciousness, what you were doing is you were making opportunities for other people. It's like Robin was the go-to person for jobs. Like, hello? Why does she know all of this? And why is she able to make this happen for people? And so as that being an introduction to NABWIC, what I saw was NABWIC through Robin was an enabler. It's like, okay, so if you want to know who to know and who to go to and how to make things happen and when to know things, then go to Robin. And then Robin introduced me to all these other people. That's what
Thank
I
you.
Saw.
Okay.
And I have not learned anything different. So now, with that being said, you've already proven that NABWIC does those things, but tell us a little bit more about the benefit of being a part of NABWIC and how you got to be that go-to person. What makes it work?
The benefits of NABWIC. Where in the world can you go and have the sisterhood of professional women in every facet of construction on one accord? That's benefit enough. Secondly, the education, the personal or the self-development. For me, NABWIC has made me a well-rounded person, because it's not only about the contracts, it's about the contacts and, being the best person we can be. And when I started in the back as a member. Then I was able to secure the president seat for the local chapter. Then we had, at that time, we were trying to charter a chapter here locally. We were able to do that 2 years ago of October. And from that, I'm vice chair. I've been the national chartering chair. Now I'm the national education chair. And I'm saying all that to say, because being in those positions, it has put me in front of prime contractors, the movers and shakers, and just to really understand, again, how this business works. So when you say I'm that go-to person and I know what's going on, that's the reason why, because using NABLIC as a platform for my business has, again, put me in front of those people, and that would be definitely one of the benefits that I say is the relationships that we have. Going back to Ms. Ann McNeil, she's been in the industry over 30 years, and she's cultivated some wonderful relationships. And we are able to capitalize on those relationships. So the benefits, I mean, I can go all day about the benefits that I've received from being a member of NABLIC.
Well, one of the things that happened for me just in one of the networking opportunities that was made available to me, it actually opened up a door that was just amazing. I had a dream of pulling together what I call a legacy wall, which is creating the history of a building, of a company, of a school, or what have you, and displaying it so that people can educate while they decorate. That's my theme. And I had made contact with a school, had worked with them, had come up with the design, and then I needed someone to install what I had created. And I had approached the company and was actually going to go to that company, or I had gotten an estimate from them and was going to use them. And then I went to a NABLIC event, and there was a meet and greet and introduction, and I heard the name. Well, actually, I didn't pay attention to the name the first time I heard it, but I got that person's business card. And as I came home and sat down and started processing the cards that I had, I noticed a name that I recognized from my college days. And I was fascinated by it. Then I would say within the same week, I was at another event, and this person showed up. And I said, "Oh, my goodness, it's you. You have a name that I recognize. Do you know?" And I gave him the name of the person that I went to school with. And he said, "Yeah, that's my dad, and he's standing over there." I said, "No way." So I went over and literally bumped into my friend of years ago. And he was talking, and being the nice person he is, he didn't respond. And I hit him again. I had to hit this man three times before he looked at me and went, "What the heck?" And then we hugged away years of life, and that friendship just seemed to be there all over again. And how about he and his son run the very kind of company that I was about to go contract with someone when I left that meeting that day. But instead, he followed me to that school. He and his son followed me to that school and took the measurements, and they actually installed the beginnings of my dream. And I knew when I heard that they were in this business that they were going to be the people that I would use, because back in school, I knew the attention to detail. We had worked together on projects that were not construction related, they were actually music related and performance related. But I understood the level of detail and professionalism that he had when we were in school. So I knew that if he was in business with his son, that they had it going on, and yes, they did. That they installed that wall like nobody's business, or his company did, and I'm so proud of it. And that was a NABLIC connection, a reconnection, because obviously the level the reputation that NABLIC has attracted the right kind of people.
Right.
So.
Awesome. But I would like to ask you a question, Ursula. So, again, you are a NABLIC member. However, you're not in education. I mean, you're not in, construction. For the callers or listeners, can you explain how being a member, how you can be a member and benefit without being in construction?
Well, I'm one of those, I'm one of those kinds of people that will go into places where I don't see an obvious connection a lot of times. In fact, I went into the supplier diversity meeting. It was a pre-bid conference, and it was about constructing a school. Now, I don't do any of that, but I wanted to see what the process was like, and I sat there. And as they were talking about sticks and stones and boards and nails and things like that, relatively speaking, I was just listening and imagining where I could fit in. And it hit me that what I wanted to do was help them with their decoration, but it wasn't decoration. It was education through decoration. And so I found my niche and talked to someone at that meeting, and they were fascinated by my idea. And from that idea, it's developed into something that's real. So they're the main things that you all do, but there are the other things that are supportive of what you do. The building goes up, but there are a lot of peripheral things that are needed. If this is not my domain, but let's say somebody's into decorating via curtains and blinds and what have you, then that's not necessarily construction, but a building is bare until you dress it out. Okay. Or if you are into electronics, then it may be that you could be the person that goes in and tells them how they need to operate their system or what kinds of systems they need to install in order to communicate better. You have to think outside of the box when you're dealing with people that are so focused. Because I happen to have lost a really dear friend of mine, Justice, a couple of weeks ago, and he's in construction and has almost like a laser focus on getting something done and just drives that straight down the path until it gets to where it is complete. But along the way, you know, if you just sit there and watch, then ideas can form, and that's the kind of person that I am. I tend to take something and see what I can add to it or how I can understand something that I didn't understand prior to that moment, because I'm in the presence of someone that is smart, that is doing something that I would never have done, but it may open a door to something that I actually want to do. So you have to find where you fit in somebody else's world, and then you may expand their world because of the things that you offer that they may not have thought about. So.
Right. I know one thing that I would really say that, although you not being in construction, is the people that you're going to be put in front of and the people they know. That's how I always look at it. Even when I there's networking events, I'm like, that has nothing to do with construction or what I'm wanting to do. But every time I went to a networking event, I've made some awesome connections that always led right back to what it is that I'm doing. So is the exposure, and I say it all the time, NABWIC has been the platform that I have used to bring my business and my goals to life. So, yeah.
Well, when you said goals, that opens the door for what is it that Robin is dreaming of right now or doing or making happen that's future-oriented?
Oh, well, okay, so once I finish my degree, which will be in the fall, and then I obtain my general contractor license, the goal is to have a full-service general a construction company. So, of course, it's going to start with the dump trucks, with site work, and I'm still trying to narrow that down because I really like underground utilities, earthwork, site clearing, And then general contracting, I like building things. Of course, with the design component that I have, I love to create things and then turn around and build things. So to answer the question, it would be a full-service construction company with the ultimate goal.
When you said you like to build things, can you tell me about some projects that you've worked on that you enjoyed?
Okay, so when I say build things, it would be like personal around the house. Again, I'm the kind of person that on the weekend I will go to a yard sale, I will go to a flea market, and I like to just refurbish, reupholster. I like bringing things back. In the way of actual contracts, construction contracts, I've always been either like an assistant project manager with a lot of residential housing. And I would say that would be through Fresh Start Development. And then also with a couple others like Hop Construction. And from that, let's see. Yeah, that would be the gist of it. Working with those two companies as, you know, in the project, assistant project management field.
Well, we're going to have to talk offline because you just hit another hot button of mine. I love antiques.
Listen at you.
I know, because I love antiques. And at one point in time, several times, I've been in antique stores as a vendor. And one of those times, there was a tendency for people to refurbish furniture. So I really enjoyed going out and finding that $2 piece and bringing it back and doing shabby chicing with it and all whatever. Having somebody buy, come in and it be the piece that they're looking for and willing to pay the money for it. You look at it and go, wow, what a paintbrush and some paint will do and a little bit of sandpaper.
Yeah.
So I totally enjoyed that. So the hunt is always nice and the find is tremendous. And I hate to say this, but there have been a couple of times I'm riding down the street, and especially in a community that I go through sometimes, where they put things out in the street that they're just tired of, and I can just see what it can be.
right. You can make, and you know what? That was the reason I named the business what I did, Renew. Because that's I'm renewing. You know how the new music these days, they have the old song with a new twist?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I like to do.
All right.
And then like you were saying, to actually create something out of nothing or someone's junk, you make it a treasure, and then to see someone appreciate it and buy it, yeah, mm-hmm. I love stuff like that.
Oh, cool. Do you ever frequent auctions or anything like that?
No, I've watched the shows, but never really visited the auctions. It would always be. That's something you have to turn me on, because that's a whole other.
I was about to say, I could take you to a few auctions that would just blow your mind. It's not just about the storage auctions, even though when you're thinking about outside of the box, years ago, when that was not anything that anybody knew anything about, I had a penny saving newspaper. I found a storage auction, went to it because I was opening up an office, and I bought a unit, me, by myself,
mm-hmm.
and I had enough to furnish my office,
mm-hmm.
sold some of that, and got back all of my money, and
mm-hmm.
then I put a few pieces in my house for a home office.
Mm-hmm.
When I closed down the office years later, I sold the one that I used,
mm-hmm.
and I still have one piece from that first auction that I won, and a first bid that I won, and it is so sturdy. I'm gonna have to just separate myself from it. It was just that good. And at that time, I don't know where I got the idea from, because it wasn't because I had seen anybody do it. I saw something, I guess I saw it in a newspaper, and just decided to show up. And I bid on it, and I won. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't the last one that I did. And now, since then, I've gone to auctions where, all different kinds of auctions, from where they're closing down an estate, or closing down a house, or closing down a business, or someone has just auctioning off things of a collective nature where people bring a lot of different things there. And I have to tell you about that sometime, but yeah.
yeah, we definitely have to get on another call.
Yes. Now, speaking of call, you are leading a call that has changed a lot of lives itself, the Think and Grow Rich call. How did you get started with that, and tell me about that?
Okay, I was actually kind of like thrown into that by Miss Ann. You know, she just asked me one day to if I would, you know, that was a long while ago. So she just asked me to take, to be the host for a call. And then from that, a couple years later, I've still been hosting the show. And that is something that keeps me in check. Because, of course, being the host, I have to do my work and then my homework or my reading. And then also the basis of the call is to be held accountable for what you're saying that you're wanting to do. So we actually get on the call. Everybody reads Think and Grow Rich at their own pace. And then they come on the call every Friday morning, and they give their aha moment. So basically, what is it that you gathered from your reading as it pertains to your business and your personal life? And then we also declare our goal for the following week. And then coming back on the call the following Friday, again, we hold each other accountable for what we say we're going to do.
All right. And I've been on those calls, too, and I know they have benefited me. In fact, I joined a mastermind call with Miss Ann after that, and oh my goodness, it's amazing what changing a mindset can do, and that's what that is to me. You're changing how you think about your day-to-day life and the actions that you take. So I really truly believe it's quite important. I know that it is. Now, one of the things I want to make sure that people understand is how and why they should do business with you. What are you doing right now, the services that you're offering, and how do people connect with you? How do they know how to use your services?
Thank you for asking that question. 8199-07700. My website is www.renewconstructionservices. Also, I'm in the community. Why should they purchase from me, or why should they do business with me? If they want something done right the first time, then you need to call me. I'm going to give you an experience. I think purchasing, and you know, I'm going to get specific. I would say with the gloves, the distributing of the Niceville gloves that I have, I would recommend a person doing business with me, because you're not only saving money, you're saving 50%. Also, you're promoting a black-owned business, a minority-owned business, and there's a great cause behind the glove sales, which is something I would like to discuss with you online, I mean, on another Blog Talk Radio, because it's a community effort, and it would be getting people, paint the city pink, which is a breast cancer awareness initiative that I started, and I'm doing that by means of the pink gloves that I do sell. So I gave them three reasons why they should do business with me, because it makes sense, promoting small business, and it's for a great cause.
Okay. So for those of us that are not really savvy when it comes to knowing what services to ask the person for or a company for, break it down so it's simple. I now know that I can come to you if I need gloves, protective gloves. All right, that's one. Now, in construction, what, as a consumer, would I be calling you for? Like, I know one thing, you said dump trucks, right? Are you still doing that? Because I know when I first heard you, you were taking advantage of a situation that most of us were not even thinking about, and that's when the hurricanes came through. You mobilized and created a positive situation out of that, where you helped a lot of people and made money from it, from what I understand. So if I'm picking up the phone, what am I calling you about? What am I asking you to do for me?
Okay, so with that being said, full service janitorial, from residential, commercial, industrial, to even hauling debris. Also, I provide the NyQuil gloves, which every industry uses gloves. And then also I have the janitorial supplies. If you're wanting some conceptual drawings for a project, I can assist you with that. As well as I repair credit, your personal credit. So those are the services that I provide. And if there's something that I don't provide, I'm sure I can connect you with someone who does. So I think that's the 30-second elevator speech.
All right. So either you can do it or you can find someone who can, right?
Absolutely.
Now, are there other aspects of the industry, the conversation that you'd like to expand on, that we haven't touched on so far? Like, you know, when I ask for someone to come on to a show like this, sometimes they have in their mind, okay, I'm going to talk about this and I'm going to talk about that, and then that question is not asked, or they forget to say what they think they're going to say. This is your moment. So is there something that I should have asked you or want to share?
Okay, so that would be that we're having a job fair on June the 16th, because there's over $10 billion coming to the city of Tampa over the next 5 years, 5 to 10 years. And there's a question about the workforce. So me and a couple of other colleagues, also with NABWIC, the support of NABWIC, we are promoting, the campaign is called Getting Tampa Back to Work. That's a campaign that we're having to, again, just to get all of these prime contractors or these contract holders to come out and you know, let's go ahead and get this workforce accounted for now. Because, again, over the next 5 to 10 years, there's going to be a lot of projects. And so I thought it would be an ideal time to get the people together. And it will be those, again,
okay, you're breaking up a little bit, so you might need to repeat what you just said.
Okay, so I was saying that the job fair is going to be held June the 16th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., and it will be at the Glazier Jewish Community Center in West Tampa. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have prime contractors with open positions who are ready to hire. We're going to also have staffing agencies on hand. So if you are in need of employment or employees, this would be a great opportunity. It's only $100 for a vendor's table, and that's one of the most inexpensive ways to get, to get you some employees.
And that is what it's all about, getting the opportunities to get work done and to provide work opportunities for people because have gotten the contract as well. So that's pretty awesome. And I know that it's going to be well attended because that's what happens with NABWIC. There is a draw when Robin speaks, when Miss Ann speaks, or when they call to a location. If you can, you need to be there. And there are some times when I have missed some opportunities, and it's like, oh my goodness, it's just not good because one encounter. One networking can mean the world to you and your business. I've already found that out big time. So
if
you want to move, you need to be there.
Gotcha.
All right. So I want to personally thank you because, like I said in the beginning of the show, it is because of you that I came to a meeting because you were relentless for one. And when I showed up, I was totally impressed with the men and women, or women and men, that were at the meeting. And it's been wonderful ever since, just knowing you all and being a part. And it is kind of a cheek thrill to be able to say, I'm a part of NABWIC, Women in Construction.
Right.
That alone gets attention. And to that end, when I've seen the group working certain events, like pre-conferences and what have you, and having the red and black, you stand out. And I say when you hear, I mean, when I hear you saying that they don't want us there or they don't want women there, I think that's there's an exception when it comes to NABWIC, because when NABWIC shows up, they show out. They do. They look good. And I've seen a very open reception and people being receptive to NABWIC coming in. So that's a good thing. All right. Well, thank you so very much again for my personal introduction and for your sharing what you've done with our community, with our audience. So thank you again thank you for joining the show this morning, Robin. And
thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And to my listening audience, thank you for listening to us, and hopefully you picked up on something that will be a benefit to you in whatever it is you do, in or out of construction, or connected to construction. All right, so have a wonderful week. See you next Wednesday, every Wednesday at 8:30 a.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Take care.